I didn't touch one cent. Only Eunice knows I stole $100 bill, which is a venomous lie from start to finish. Of course, anything Eunice says is in order from headquarters is not a breathing soul, and Admiral's Mill could stand up and say he doesn't owe her money. And if she had said Charlie Carson, a blind 90-year-old invalid who hasn't taken a sleep since 1896, threw her on her back and raped her, everybody in this country would swear the same on a stack of Bibles. Now, Olivia Ann is worse, and that's the truth. Only she's not so bad on the nerves as Eunice, for she's a natural-born half-wit and ought really to be kept in someone's attic. She's real pale and skinny and has a moustache. She squats around most of the time whittling on a stick with a 14-inch long knife. Otherwise, she's up to some devilment. Like what she did to Miss Harry Stella Smith. I swore not ever to tell anyone that, but when a vicious attempt has been made on a person's life, I say to hell with promises. Miss Harry Stella Smith was Eunice's canary named after a woman from Pensacola who made homemade curare that Eunice takes for the gout. One day I heard this terrible racket in the parlor, and upon investigating, what did I find but Olivia Ann shooting Miss Harry Stella Smith at an open window with a broom and the door to the birdcage wide. If I hadn't walked in at exactly that moment, she might never have been caught. She got scared, and I would tell Eunice and blurted out the whole thing, and it wasn't fair to keep one of God's creatures locked up that way. Besides, which she couldn't stand Miss Harry Stella Smith singing. Well, I felt kind of sorry for her, and she gave me $2. So I helped her cook up a story for Eunice. Of course, I wouldn't have taken the money, except I thought it would ease her conscience. Very first words Eunice said when I stepped inside this house were, "So this is what you ran off behind her backs and married, Marge?" Marge says, "Isn't he the best looking thing, Auntie Eunice?" Eunice gives me up and down and says, "Tell him to turn around." While my back is turned, Eunice says, "You sure must have picked the runt of the litter. Why, this isn't any sort of man at all." I've never been so taken back in my life. True, I'm slightly stocky, but when I haven't got my full growth yet. At that point, "He is too," says Marge. Olivia Ann, who's been standing there with a mouth so wide the flies could buzz in and out, says, "You heard what sister said. He's not any sort of a man whatsoever. The very idea of this little runt running around claiming to be a man, why, he isn't even of the male sex." Marge says, "You seem to forget, Aunt Olivia Ann, that this is my husband, the father of my unborn child." Eunice makes a nasty sound like only she can and said, "Well, all I can say is, I most certainly wouldn't be bragging about it." Isn't that a nice welcome? And after I gave up my perfectly swell position clerking at the cash and carry. But it's not a drop in the bucket in what came later that same evening. After Bluebell cleared away the supper dishes, Marge asked, just as nice as she could, if we could borrow the car and drive over to the picture show at Phoenix City. "You must we clear out all of your head," says Eunice. In honest, you'd think we'd asked for the kimono off her back.
"You must be clear out of your head," says Olivia Ann.
"It's 6 o'clock,
says Eunice.
"And if you think I'd let that one drive my just as good as brand new 1934 Chevrolet as far as the Privy and back, you must have gone clear out of your head.